First of all, thank you, Judge Cohn. The irony is not lost on me of being introduced by a judge during Aseres HaMetshuva. And we're all going to meet the judge again on Yom Kippur. And we are all here because we are all very eager to find favor in the eyes of the heavenly judge. But thank you very much for your introduction. Thank you for reminding me of how special I am. And I do want to take a moment, though, not really to return the favor, but just to acknowledge the setting that we're in. You know, from my perspective, there was a time when Ner HaMizrach was like a that Jacob was like a parent shul and Ner HaMizrach was the child, and then there was a time in this town when Ner HaMizrach became like a sister kihila, and now there are times, thank God, because of the tremendous leadership of Rabbi Shmuel Chashkaman and the partnership of his Balabatim, there are many times when I look at Ner HaMizrach and I see them, really we look up to them for leadership in many critical areas. And so much has been brought to our community because of the initiatives of this shul. And we continue to be a better community because you're here. So yashar koach for creating this whole setting of the this tshuva drasha. It gives us all an opportunity to think about it. Even the people who are not here tonight had to decide that there's a tshuva drasha and then not come. So they're dealing with tshuva also, right? So everybody, even the people not here, are dealing with the whole thing. So, first of all, what I want tonight is that everybody leaves fully aware that any limitation that they have in their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and any limitation that they have in their connection to their spouse in their home, is not necessary. It's absolutely, totally unnecessary. It's just something that we got used to, and then we think that that's just the way it is. So I want to address this issue in a very, very specific way. First of all, I want to say front and center, the reason this topic was chosen, harmony in the home, harmony with heaven, is because we as Rabbanim feel that we as a community are suffering. We're suffering terribly. There is a problem that we all notice, there's a problem that we all talk about, there's a problem that we hear about, and there's problems that we're all experiencing one way or another, even in our own homes, because nobody lives alone. Nobody lives in isolation, and every one of us is affected by what goes on, even in the privacy of other people's homes. And so let's say straight out and open, it's not just in Atlanta, but the only city that I really care about right now is Atlanta. But I speak to other Rabbanim in other cities, so it's nothing wrong with us. We are human beings, but we have a problem, and the problem is shalom bias. And I'm not talking about the scandals. I'm not talking about the horrible unspeakable things that happen with certain families. And I'm not talking about the divorces. Those are problems, and those are painful. And not only does the Mizbeach cry, but we cry when, God forbid, couples break up. I'm talking about the marriages that are not scandalous, and the marriages that are not ending in divorce. Those marriages are in trouble. They are threatened. They're threatened for several reasons. Number one, they're threatened because people lose hope when their neighbors have trouble, when people that they don't even know, they hear about, they hear all kinds of things. People lose hope. They say, what's going on? Maybe I'm next. Who knows? I thought everything was okay with me. Maybe it's not. I thought everything was okay with them. So people lose hope. So that's number one, we're in trouble. If you lose hope, it's just a question of when the trouble will come if you don't have hope. Number two, the fact is that nowadays, We have forgotten what the beauty of a home can be, how inspiring it can be to the people in a household to actually come home and live at home and spend time with each other. We have so many reasons not to enjoy each other and so many reasons to crowd our lives with distractions at home, whether it's people that we invite into the home to make sure that we're never alone with our family members, or whether it's these things, all kinds of electronic devices that we have all over the place that we don't even know what they are, but they're like everywhere. Wherever you go, there's some kind of a device you have to fool with and deal with and fix and talk to and answer and respond to. You're never with anybody. So, by definition, a home is a place for relationship to happen, but there's no time for relationship because we have all kinds of gadgets that take us away from relationship that somehow tell us that it's more important. So we're in trouble. We're really in trouble. That doesn't mean that we don't have wonderful husbands and wonderful wives. It doesn't mean we don't have tremendously devoted people. You're here. You know what we're going to talk about, and you're here. That means that you're very, very dedicated to the notion of harmony with Avinu Shebashamayim, with our Father in Heaven, and you're devoted to the notion of harmony at home, because if it was something that you didn't care about, you wouldn't be here. So we have wonderful people here, but we are threatened, we're vulnerable, and we need work. So I'd like to address a couple of things in this area, and I say this b'mechila, asking for forgiveness beforehand, because I have tremendous respect for people who undertake any kind of relationship, who are invested in each other and who are building homes and who are working on their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tremendous respect for the holiness of a Jewish neshama and all of its aspirations. So if I say anything that implies anything less than that full respect, I ask you forgiveness. But I want to talk very, very straight and directly about these issues. The Navi says, we heard it on Shabbos, "Kechui machem devarim b'shuvu al Hashem." Take with you words and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we understand very technically and very correctly that the Navi is saying that tshuva involves words. So first of all, it involves words because the climax of tshuva, the result of tshuva is vidui. So do the work that brings you to vidui. Kli machim varim, take with you words, meaning get to the point where you can actually turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to your fellow man and say, "I have sinned against you. Chatasi avisi pashati," and say it sincerely. So you've got to get to the point where your words really mean something, says the Navi. So that's for sure true. Also, we have to daven. We actually have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we have to say to Him, "I cannot repair my relationship with you without your help. I can't do it myself. No matter how smart I am, no matter how insightful I am, no matter how honest I am, no matter how sorry I am, no matter how much remorse I have, no matter how much I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without your help, I beg you, please help me come back. I can't do it alone." Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'neshuva. We understand that you are going to have to bring us back. So that's also the words of tefillah, not only the words of tshuva, but the words of tefillah, the Navi means, that we should come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and beg Him. And if you think about it, how could we not do that? Can you imagine trying to fix a relationship with another being, somebody out there, somebody who really exists, somebody with whom you have a relationship, and you realize that there are problems, there are gaps, there are things that are missing, there are offenses that you put into the relationship. Can you imagine that you try to fix that without talking to the other person, without actually talking to the being who's been offended, or to the being who's been waiting for something that never was there? You don't address, you're going to fix it yourself. I'm just going to look inside and see what's wrong, and I won't even discuss it with this person. I'll just fix myself, and then I'll go on. Can't do that. So tefillah is an absolutely necessary component of tshuva. We have to actually beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. And we have to say to Him, "I need so much help. I need you to help me realize that I need help." Right, even that's Hashem's Fasai Tiftach. Please open up my mouth so I even realize that I need to ask you. I need help for that too. So if a person doesn't care, or if a person is not that excited or motivated, or a person is exhausted or tired or bored, so you daven and you say, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me care, because I really do care underneath everything else." So that's true. Chui Machen Dvarim, all that's true. But there's another more significant aspect, I shouldn't say more significant, more relevant to our own approach to tshuva that we really have to think about when the Navi says, "Take with you words and return to Hashem." You know what the Navi is saying? The Navi is saying that the only thing you have that really obligates you in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the fact that you absolutely promised to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a Jew. That's what a Jew is. There is no other definition. There's no other reason to be a Jew. There's no reason for the existence of the Jewish people, of Am Yisrael, other than the fact that we said that we will be your partner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we said it. And once we said it, now it's a matter of keeping our word. It's a matter of respecting the fact that we gave our word to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuli machem dvarim, take the word that you gave in the expectation that you created by saying that I am part of Klal Yisrael, I identify as a Jew. Take that and come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realize that you have to actually honor the promise that you made. And here we have a very important connection between our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the relationship that we have to our spouses. Because we actually gave our word to our spouse. What we did when we got married is we actually said, through words, and that's how we got married, we said through words, please be my partner in life. That's what we said. And we didn't say these words, but there's every absolute reason to know that the expectation in putting a ring on the caliph's finger, the expectation is, I will cherish you, I will honor you, I will take care of you, I will never degrade you, I will never forget about you even when you're not around and checking on me, I will never do anything to demean the relationship, and when we have children, I will make you even more honored than you were before we had children. That there'll never be a moment in my life, unless I make a terrible mistake, that I will demean you because you know me. That's what we said when we put the ring on our wife's finger. And when the wife sat there and took the ring and didn't say anything, like, I think you're an idiot and I don't want to put your ring on my finger, at that moment, the wife said, I am giving my life to you and I will always honor you and always respect you and I will never do anything to ruin that relationship, even slightly. Now, of course, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But the point is, we gave each other our word. We made a solemn promise. And we never said, unless you annoy me. We never said, of course, if you are always late to go to Sheva Brachas, then I will stop honoring the promise that I made to you. We never said, if you burn the food, then I will take back some of the promise that I made. We never said any of that. We never said, if we disagree on things, like how to raise the children, then I won't honor you anymore. We never said that. We said, I will honor you no matter what. There are no reasons that are going to come in the way, in between me and you. I'm not going to let anything else get in the way. So therefore, kli machem dvarim, take with you words, and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, v'yahavtos Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. So we say to ourselves, well, that's for the tzaddik. Obviously, that's a wonderful thing. That's for the tzaddik. You shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart and all your soul and all your ability. That's for the tzaddik. Mir Hashem, maybe one day, once I get serious, once I get by the problems of the today and the problems of this week and the problems of next week and the problems that are plaguing me all around me in life, one day, if I get serious and I have nothing else to worry about and I have a better rabbi or better teacher or whatever, at that point, I will learn to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all my heart. I hope I die after I learn that. It could be I'll get there, it could be on that. That's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying, Jew, you, who are reading these words, you, not the tzaddik, not Moshe Rabbeinu, you, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart and all your soul. And what does that mean? What that means is that if you don't do it with all your soul, if you say, I love you, but I'm holding back some, there's part of me that is not for you, God. There's part of me that's not about living close to you or being aware of you. There's part of me that's my own private affair. It's not, nothing to do with you. Right? That is not love at all. What that's saying is, I have some kind of an awareness of you. I'll pay my dues to you. I'll do whatever it is you had, you know, to stay out of Gehenna. I'll do whatever it is to avoid my idea of how much you're going to punish me. But to give my life to you, that's already getting too far. That's for somebody else. But that's not love. That's something else. Similarly, with a spouse. If we say, when you're around, I'll be okay. When you're not around, my behavior is something else. When I talk about you when you're not listening, when I talk to the children about you, and when I refer to you when you're not around, or, you know, with my eyes or whatever it is, that's something else. That's not love. That's not commitment. That's not fulfilling it at all. So therefore, it's not for the tzaddik to actually give oneself over totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not for the perfect husband or perfect wife to give oneself over to the spouse fully. That's the nature of the deal. That's the nature of commitment, with no reservation, no ifs, ands, or buts. And we have to understand that. Now, things get in the way. I understand that. We'll address that in a minute. Did you ever notice, if you're around a Baal Tshuva, and Baruch Hashem in this city, Baruch Hashem, we're around Baal Tshuva, adults who became from in their adult life, they can be very annoying, right? We know that. Because they're so happy with mitzvahs, and everything seems so wonderful. And they come to shul, and when the rabbi speaks, they listen. And they think it's just, wow, can you hear what the rabbi said? And then, oh, Shabbos is coming. I'm so excited, right? And you want to tell them, get a life. You know, and what you mean is, get interested in something else. Why would a Kaddish Baruch Hu and Torah and Mitzvahs be so exciting? Don't you know it's not? Get real. Get realistic. Baal Tshuva can be annoying to those of us who have already learned that you're not supposed to be excited or happy in your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You're just supposed to pay your dues and do what you have to, do it as well as you can, and then get on with it. Right? You ever notice who else you don't want to hang around with too well if you're having any trouble in your marriage? You hate newlyweds. Newlyweds can be annoying. They're holding hands, and they're so happy, and you ask them a question, and they look at each other before they answer, and they say, well, you know, I don't know, I have to see what Julie thinks, and that kind of thing, and I don't know, I'll let you know, Julie and I will talk it over, and we'll get back to you. And they're like a team, and they're like partners, and they're happy with each other, and they don't say anything critical, and they actually think that there's such a thing as love. Right? Now, what's going on? What happened? When does that go away? And why does that go away? Baal Tshuva and newlyweds are the same thing. Nobody wants them around. Right? Because now I'm serious. So what happened? What happened to the rest of us? Right? I'll tell you what happened to the rest of us. We have a history. That's all. What happened is, we davened the Shemoneh Esrei and we were bored the entire time. It finally happened. And then we tried again, and we were totally not focused. We said, this time I'm going to daven better. And we didn't daven better. And so we said, okay, that's the way it's going to be. Davening is holding the sitter saying the words. I hope I just say the words, right? And then we adjusted our expectation downward because our history told us that it's not going to be as good as we thought. Then we had a Shabbos that was actually not pleasant, right? So we had a Shabbos that it didn't work out. I wasn't inspired. That's, I don't know. The rabbi said the same thing he said last week. And I don't know. I didn't understand the Torah reading. And not only that, I made a mistake and I opened up a potato chip bag the wrong way and I blew it. And Shabbos is hard and whatever. And I lost a job. All of a sudden we have all kinds of history and that Shabbos is, and then we say, okay, this is the way it is. And we go on that way. And then, you know, after Sheva Brachas or whatever it is, after the newly was, after a month or two, so you have a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding doesn't get cleared up because he doesn't back down or she doesn't back down. Or he covers up the lie with another lie, another small lie. It's not true, whatever, that kind of thing. Or she's on the phone too long with her mother. Every time I come home, she keeps on talking to her mother. I understand. Why isn't she happy with me? Why she can't talk to me? Why does she have to talk to her mother? And after a while, we start realizing, okay, that's the way it's going to be. My wife is more interested in other things than me, and I just have to get used to it. What do I expect? It's not as good as I thought it was going to be, but at least it's tolerable. And then we get used to it, and then we go around, you know, how's everything? Fine, right? Because we don't want to admit that things aren't as good as we thought they were going to be. So this is what we have, a history. And then the history comes along and tells us that we can't have it the way we think it should be, and we don't even allow ourselves to think about it. So I noticed something this year, and afterwards I found it a similar thought in the Chassam Sofer. David HaMelech in Le David Hashem Ori actually teaches us how to do tshuva. See, tshuva is not self-improvement. Tshuva is not that you take who you are and you try to get a little bit better. I believe in incremental growth. I believe that a human being cannot go from wherever they are and be perfect. Absolutely. But that's not tshuva. That's something else. Growth is growth. Obviously, a person has to grow slowly. Tshuva is something else. Tshuva is return. Tshuva is actually waking up to reality. Tshuva is saying, okay, I forgot that there's actually an ideal picture. I forgot that there's actually somewhere to get to. And I'm going to embrace that picture, that perfect picture, as actually my picture. Now I'll deal with things that got in the way of that picture. But I agree that there is a real HaKadosh Baruch Hu who wants a real relationship with me. And David HaMelech says this. Listen to what he says in Kapitel Chavzayin. Kapitel is Yiddish. I'm sorry, this is Ner Mizrach. In chapter Perek Chavzayin. Is that what it is? Perek? Okay. Look what he says in Perek Chavzayin. David says, Achaz sha'alti me'eis Hashem asa'a vakesh. One thing I ask him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what I seek. Shivti b'veis Hashem kol yamei chayai. I want to sit in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of my life. Anyway, you learn pshat in that pasuk. What a chutzpah. David HaMelech, he's got a difficult life. He's got all kinds of things. Number one is he's running the army of Klal Yisrael. He's all over the battlefield. He's got all kinds of problems. And he's got enemies here and there. And he's got rebellions. He's got all kinds of problems. Oh, you want to sit in the house? How about if you just like sit there for a month, a year, start off? What are you asking? He's asking for it all. Then he says, "Ki kamu v'yedei she." He says, "Hashem, hatzilonai v'yedei me from mitzoroi. Ki kamu v'yedei sheker, because false witnesses have risen against me." Who are the false witnesses? So I look through all the Rishonim, I look through the Medrash, I look through the Yalkut. No one says anything that I found on who these false witnesses are. And then I realize the false witnesses are right here in David's head. Because as soon as he says, Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem, one thing I want to sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life, immediately all the reasons why that can't happen come flooding in. All the excuses, all the realistic assessments come in and tell him, you can't have that. You're David HaMelech. You've got problems. You have a kingdom to run. You have wars to fight. You can't do that. Somebody else, let some Talmud Chacham sit in Beis Hashem, call him, not you. So David says, no, those are Edei Sheker. Those are liars. Those are trying to convince me that I can't have it. Because just because I haven't have it, they're saying you'll never have it. And you can't have it, you can't, and therefore you'll never do that. So David HaMelech says, please Hashem, save me from that. Now, that what that means is that we cannot allow the fact that we've been frustrated and the fact that we have difficulties, and we don't question, we have real difficulties, but we can't allow us that to take our eye off the ball. The way that we can mend a relationship with our spouses, and we all have to, because we are all human, and we are all imperfect, and we are all offensive, and we are all selfish, and we are all more interested in our own comfort than we are in giving. That's just the way it is. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us. Let's get real about it. And therefore, if we live with someone else, we're going to be selfish, and we're going to be hurtful. And we have to own that and then be responsible for it and then do something about it. The way to fix it is to say, the one thing that I want is to have the relationship of my dreams with my spouse. And what does that look like? With this spouse, not with some spouse. With this spouse. What does it look like? What would that look like? Of course you're going to say to yourself immediately, but I can't. Not with this person. I mean, she's okay, or he's okay, but now whatever it is, but not the relationship of my dreams. No, what happens is, as soon as you allow yourself to fantasize what it looks like to have a relationship with your spouse, at that point you realize, but there are certain problems. And there's certain, most of those problems are, she's always going to be late. I know it. So the point is, at that point, what you do is you realize while you're spending your time relating to your wife, I'm using a lousy example of being late, you're not even noticing that your wife is a sweet person, that your wife is a caring person, that your wife is a giving person, that your wife actually has other virtues. The only thing you see is that for the last 10 years she's been late, right? My house, by the way, I'm the late guy, so it's another story. But my point is, so I don't think, I'm just saying late is the issue. But the point is that your history ends up falsely representing what you think is going to be your relationship forever with your wife, because you're not allowing yourself to see anything else. Same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with this I'll close. Same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, all right, I'm not a tzaddik, I'm not righteous. So I don't aspire to have a real powerful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't aspire to be aware of Him at every minute. I don't aspire to actually be moved by emotional love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to just, you know, I just want to be able to manage. I want to get my sukkah up. I want to own a kosher lulav, and I want to get the bracha done. I just want to do that. That is not tshuva. Tshuva is, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with me. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know you're capable of a full relationship. I can purify you. I want you. I want to connect to you. And then we deal with the stuff that has gotten in the way that we've actually believed as not liars. Then we deal with those things and we realize that they are liars, but we've started giving them credibility as if they're true. So, in closing, I will say that very much there's a relationship between the harmony in the home and the harmony in heaven. And that is that we have got to maintain the dream. We have to make sure that we never give up the dream. And then deal with the issues that come up once we start dreaming. But when we start reducing the dream to being quote-unquote realistic, at that point we're really just politely, in a socially acceptable way, giving up. And then we stop working on our relationship with our spouse. There's much more to say. The time is up. I wish everybody a Gmar Chasima Tova. I want to make sure that people realize that with the coming of Yom Kippur, we have a tremendous opportunity, and we want to use every minute, one way or another, either in thought, intention, or in tefillah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help us to capitalize as much as we can on this time. And Amir Tashem, our houses and our children will be sources of nachas to us and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'll be centers of Kedusha that will radiate outwards to affect every one of our neighbors and the entire community. May everybody be blessed with a Gemar Chasima Tova.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.